Who is Lazarus at my gate? Who is Jesus in my streets? To sum up the gospel well, Benedict XVI had a quote, a famous quote, saying, "The world offers you comfort, but you weren't meant for comfort. You were meant for greatness." And the greatness that he is speaking of is a greatness of love. As each of us knows, an easy way to understand practicing the faith is that God is laboring to love me, that God is loving me, and I want to respond by loving him and loving my neighbor. When I hear a gospel like this, it is challenging. It actually pokes and prods me to further love and to not be complacent. At the beginning of Mass, when we pray the act of contrition, "I confess to Almighty God," we are confessing to God our faults and sins to the Lord for the things that we actually committed against him, but also the things that we have failed to do. And what was the issue or the concern with this rich man in today's gospel? It was those things that he failed to do. It was rather an omission. That's what this parable is all about today, an omission on the part of the rich man. And so when we look at him, it says that he was feasting sumptuously. He had nice clothing. He was enjoying himself. What's the issue with that? Nothing. But rather, is this parable more so speaking about what he failed to do with Lazarus, who is outside his gate? Lazarus, who was poor, indeed, he had sores and he was hungry. And the rich man failed to see him. So the rich man, being loved by God, had a failure of response to God's love in his life by loving Lazarus, his neighbor. That's what this chasm in this parable is all about. This chasm between the rich man and Lazarus. God loves me, and this omission, this complacency, this failure to respond is what the chasm is between Lazarus and the rich man. And that's what we hear in that first reading of Amos, where the Israelites are falling into a complacency and a comfort, and they're not responding to God's love in their life. So this is a hard gospel for me to hear. It's this call to greatness of love. First starts with being secure in Jesus' love in my life. And that's what ignites the desire to respond, to love him in return, which we do by coming to Mass. That's why we are here. And also that entering into prayer. That's how we love God. And then are we loving our neighbor? One of the fathers of the church actually speaks about the rich man being in this torment, in this netherworld, and he reaches out to Father Abraham. "Hey, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water to be quenched of my thirst." So this church father is noting that the rich man actually knew Lazarus's name, but he really just ignored him. How easy it can be to ignore my neighbor if it's burdensome or waste some of my time is how I think. But really, this is a call to respond to love my neighbor. I love Mother Teresa's stories, not only because they're inspirational, but they are challenging. And she's just a beautiful witness for us. How much dimmer would this life be without a Mother Teresa? There's one account where she was going off to see St. John Paul II, which they met a few times over their life. She hopped into a cab, started on her way. She saw a poor person on the side of the road. Of course, Mother Teresa got out of the vehicle and started tending to this man in need. This man had leprosy. He was poor. He was hungry. He was a Lazarus. And she showed the love of Jesus to him. She comforted him in his need, gave him hope in Jesus, said that you are loved even in your poverty. Eventually, one of the people with Mother Teresa said, hey, we're going to be late for that meeting with the Pope. Seems kind of like a big deal to be late for a meeting with the Pope, the Vicar of Christ. You know what her response was? Tell the Pope, I have found Jesus in the streets. She wanted to show this man the love of Jesus. She knew how to respond to the love of Jesus in her life by loving this Lazarus. That second reading from St. Timothy says, compete well for the faith. It's part of that response. Another translation is fight the good fight. Just how often do our athletes endure much trial to be at the top of their game? They go on dieting. They have a regimen. If you ever heard of a Navy SEAL go through their training, it's truly amazing what the human person is capable of. And today we actually have some of our St. Mary golfers here at this Mass. They have a regional meet tomorrow. And so I'm hoping to go out to Jamestown for that. It's amazing to see how they've developed over these couple months, that training. And that's what we are called to in the Christian life as well, a sort of training in our spiritual lives. But there's almost a disconnect or a chasm at times for myself between wanting to do something physically well and living my spiritual life well. That chasm is a complacency. Receiving God's love in my life, but failing to respond. The greatest thing is Jesus is merciful, as we heard in that collect, that beginning prayer at Mass. The greatest power Jesus has in this life is that he is merciful. He comes to meet me in my failure, in my need of him. He even reaches out to this rich man. He reaches out to Judas, who betrays him. Guess where Judas was sitting at the Last Supper? He wasn't in the corner. He was actually right next to Jesus, who dipped the bread in the bowl right next to him. So from the very last moment, Jesus was reaching out to Judas. That gives me great hope when at times I grow complacent in my spiritual life that Jesus is continuing to reach out to me. So let us pray for that grace to be responsive to the love of God in our lives, like a Mother Teresa, and just how much brighter this world is because of her.